All right, Rosh, good evening. Let's begin. So I want to just share with you first a beautiful Maisa by Rabbi Nachman, and then we'll get into a Vart from the Parsha. So I apologize. I forgot to Xerox the Vart, but I'll just say this. This is from the Sefer Pu'ula HaTzadik. It's just to give us, you know, sometimes by the Hasidim, so, you know, telling Sipurei Tzadikim, telling stories about Tzadikim is very important, because sometimes you learn more from stories about Tzadikim. I should say you learn more. You learn just as much from the stories about Tzadikim as you do from the actual Torah of the Tzadikim. So listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. I actually told this over in Shalosh this a couple of months ago. One of my favorite insights, the stories of Rabbi Nachman. So remember, again, we try to do a story from Pu'ulas HaTzadik each week. We're still in Rabbi Nachman's childhood. So when he was young, Rabbi Nachman used to take some larger denominations of coins, and he would exchange them. He would, you know, cash them in for a bunch of smaller denominations of coins. So again, so he would take a dollar bill, and he'd get 100 pennies. So what would he do? He would quietly, unassumingly walk into the Beis Medrash, walk into the shul, and he would go ahead and take the Sefer Sharzi and say, there's a Shem Yichud. There's a beautiful, you know, by the Hasidim, there's a big inyan of saying the Shem Yichud, the introductory paragraphs before one performs a mitzvah. The concept of that is that a mitzvah requires performance. A mitzvah requires preparation. A mitzvah requires some type of hachana. And the Lishem Yichud is the way ultimately that we're making, that we prepare ourselves for a mitzvah. Ve'lakach tafal echad, ve'shlichu l'soch ha-matan b'seiser. Ve'achar ka'chazir v'asal yatzmo, kilu masiach taitu mizeh. Ve'achar ka'chazir v'amal Lishem Yichud ha-niskalel. Ve'chazir v'hishlich pruta nosef v'soch ha-matan b'seiser. Ad shehishlich kala prutos l'soch ha-matan b'seiser. Ve'alko pruto pruta amal Lishem Yichud. So what did Rebbe do? It's when he was a little child. Little young Nachman goes ahead, takes his dollar, cashes it in for 100 pennies, stands by the pushka, says the L'Shem Yichud, the preparatory prayer, L'Shem Yichud, I'm ready to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah, puts in the penny. Pauses, again, says the L'Shem Yichud, puts in the penny. And repeats this process over and over and over 100 times until he gives away all of his change. He's a little boy, 6 years old, is when he's doing this. What's the pshat? His kavana. Why did young Nachman do this? In order that he should be zocha to do many mitzvos. This is an amazing yisod. Rabbi Nachman did this. Young Nachman does this because he wanted to be a pasha the yid. What's a pasha the yid? A pasha the yid is someone who has one desire. I want to do a lot of mitzvos. I want to do a lot of mitzvahs. You know, some people want to learn Shas, and some people want to discover a cure to cancer, and, you know, some people want to make $1 million, and some people want to do a whole bunch of things. But, you know, like a Pasha Jew says, I just would like to do mitzvahs. And I want to try to do as many mitzvahs as possible. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. So as a young boy already, he realized that the greatest accomplishment is just to give penny after penny after penny, after penny, to condition himself to be an Oved Hashem. I think that there are two things that you take from this particular Maisa. So number one, the power of being a Pasha Jew. So we call it the power of being Pashat. The power of being Pashat. You don't have to be, you don't have to grab headlines. You don't have to necessarily be a Mitsuyon. You don't have to be someone who blazes new trails every single time. But sometimes the best thing in the world is being a Pasha Jew. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, I will say, is the power of repetition and consistency. The idea being that the way to grow in our Ruchnius is consistency and repetition. You know, if I'm the kind of person that, you know, sometimes I burn bright, but I burn bright infrequently, or I'm inspired here, you know. In today's day and age, everybody's looking for inspiration, so, which is a good thing. But, you know, what do people want? You know, I want something that mamish is like going to turn on the light bulb. I want that thing that's going to light up my neshama. I'm looking for the his odorous. But, you know, when you drill down in Yiddishkeit, you begin to realize that true inspiration comes from consistency and continuity. Sometimes when I do the same things over and over and over, that's when it creates a sense of incredible inspiration. So the Rebbe understood that there's a power of standing by the pushka and putting in penny after penny. I just put in the dollar already. Just put in the dollar. Well, so you understand, there's a chilek between giving a dollar and giving 100 pennies. See, when you give a dollar, you've engaged in one act of tzedakah. When you give 100 pennies, you've engaged in 100 acts of tzedakah. What's the chilek? What's the distinction? One act of tzedakah doesn't make you into a giver. 100 acts of tzedakah, that makes you into a giver. That was the koach of Rabbi Nachman. I will say, now, I mentioned this before. You know, this is a famous shiva that was posed to it of Moshe. We mentioned this in Daf Yomi when we were doing the tzedakah sugyas in Bo Basra. So the shuva that was posed to Moshe is, Moshe got a question. Person says, you know, Rabbi, I receive a lot of tzedakah solicitations in the mail. So I have a choice. I could give a little to a lot or a lot to a little. So whatever it is, I have $1,000. I can give $500 to two organizations, right? And that'll be it. Or I can go ahead and I can give, you know, $10 to 100 organizations. So which one should I do? In Reb Moshe Paskind, it is better to give a little to a lot. It is better to give to more organizations and to give less than to give a lot to a little. Why, says Reb Moshe? Because again, it conditions you to being a giver. So what it is, the act of writing a number of checks, the acts of giving over and over, that's what conditions you ultimately to be a no-sing. You give once, that's very nice, but you don't become a no-sing through that. That was the, again, Rabbi Nachman, you have to understand, the greatness is, he discovered this on his own. You know, his father didn't tell him to do this, his mother didn't tell him to do this, his grandfather didn't tell him to do this, and his neshama, he just understood, I need to sit by the pushka and give penny after penny after penny. So that's the right. With that, let's take a look at what the Rebbe says in this week's parasha. So we actually have a dedication. The shir this week is dedicated by Sherry Miller in the Zuchus of Arafuah Shalema for Art Miller Art Hada procedure. Avraham Ovadja Ben Rachel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, we have a complete and enduring Refuah. So let's begin. So now take a look on the page that you have. One page over here. So Vayishalu, remember again, beginning of Parsha Sisra. So what happens with the Parsha? Reunification between Yisro and his father, between Yisro and his son-in-law Moshe. So what happens? Pasuk Zayin, Vayetse Moshe Likras Chosno, Moshe goes out to greet Yisro, Vayishtachu Vayishaklo, he bows down to him, he kisses him, Vayishalu Ishlare Ehu L'Shalom, and Moshe and Yisro, literally Vayishalu Ishlare Ehu, and one man asked his fellow to see how they were doing, right? Ishlare Ehu, they asked each other like a peer-like relationship. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, look at the bottom where it says the Kutei Halachos. Vayishal Ishtarayu L'Shalom. Hane'em Rabbi Moshe V'Yisro. Va'om Rabbi Sinuzal. Mi akaroi ish ze Moshe. V'kama hayu rechokim ze mizeh. So what intrigues the Rebbe? I will say the Lashon of the Pasuk is Vayishalu Ish L'Re'ehu L'Shalom. Right? Now Re'ehu means what?
Friend.
Peer. Equal, Re'ehu is the Lashon that is used to really speak about two people who have a relatively equal standing. Right? That's Re'ehu. So asks the Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, how could the Torah say that Moshe and Yisro are Re'ehu? How can you use that Lashon to say that Moshe, they're peers? They're on the same level? By Yisro Re'ehu, right? Omatonos Le'avionim, right? You see, Omishlach Manos, Ish the Re'ehu. So okay, I'm going to send Yishlach Manos, you're going to send Yishlach Manos, because we're on the same level. Moshe and Yisrael, they're on the same level. How can you say such a thing like that? Moshe Kibbal HaTorah Pi HaGvura. Moshe Rabbeinu, he received the Torah from the Ribono Shel Olam. On the other hand, Yisrael, Niskayer Mimakom Rachok, V'tamei Mi'od. Yisrael, on the other hand, converted. Right? He joined the Jewish people from a faraway place. V'tamei Mi'od. Now the Rebbe here says something very interesting. He says, and you know what? Yisro was very impure. What does it mean he was very impure? Ki lo hiniach avod zara shelo avada. There was not one idolatry that Yisro did not worship. In other words, Yisro was not simply like a recreational idolater. Like he was mamish full time. This was his thing. There was not one avodah zarah that he did not worship. See the Rabbi's kasha, Moshe Rabbeinu. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when little baby Moshe, when he's rescued by Bas Paro. So remember again, he wouldn't nurse. The Torah doesn't say it's part of the story. The Torah just says Bas Paro finds him. She turns to Miriam. She says, "Can you find me a wet nurse from the Jewish women?" So what's the pshat? It's like there's a piece of the story missing there. Why? The princess of Egypt also had wet nurses. What's the pshat? So Rashi HaKadosh says, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman. From the moment that he began was Kodesh Kadashim. He was holy. He was Halik. He was perfect. He was Tamim. He was wonderful. Just by the way, just so you know, on the side of that, you know, the Shulchan Aruch codifies that with Halacha. Shulchan Aruch says in Yerdeya that if a mother cannot nurse her child, a Jewish mother can't nurse her child, she should try to go ahead and hire a Jewish woman to nurse her child. You know, this is in the days before synthetic formulas. So, you know, you needed someone to nurse the baby. So you have to, see, better to hire a Jewish wet nurse. Why? Where does the halacha come from? The halacha comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the obvious kasha is, but one second, by Moshe Rabbeinu we know he wouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Why? Like we just said before, because the mouth that was going to speak with the Shekhinah shouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman. So how can you bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu to everyone else? So what's the vart? The vart is that every child could be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Every child has to be treated like a potential Moshe Rabbeinu. So I have to nurture that child, nourish that child. We'll say it's an incredible yisod, because it's also an incredible din in parenting. Meaning, what are we raising our children for? What are we raising them for? Are we raising them for spiritual mediocrity, or are we raising them ultimately for spiritual greatness? And we'll say this is an incredibly important question that every single parent has to ask themselves, and it trickles down into so many things. What influences do we allow in our home? What do we give our kids? What do we withhold our kids? What levels of behavior do we expect from our children? What do we expose our children to? What do we not expose our children to? These questions go right to one simple question. What am I raising my child for? If I'm raising my child for spiritual mediocrity, there's a lot of stuff I can let my kid do. If I'm raising my child for spiritual greatness to be Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a whole dramatically different lifestyle. So that's actually Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as an aside, one more tangent on the tangent. They say that when somebody wanted to open up a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, you know, they came, the Rav of Yerushalayim was Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. So they used to come to Rav Sonnenfeld, they would ask him for a haskama. Can you support the opening of yeshiva? And this is amazing. I saw this story. He said he would always ask them one question. What was the one question? Do you teach, this was the boys' yeshiva, do you teach the boys that they can be Mashiach? Do you teach the boys that they can be Mashiach? So he said, what's the pshat? He says, because if your chinuch doesn't teach the boys that they have the ability and capacity to be Mashiach, then that's a flawed chinuch. Every child has to be educated, recognizing that he could be Moshe Rabbeinu, that he could be the Mashiach. So, we'll say, back to this. So, how can you? Why is that a stira?
I think it's too much pressure.
I think I'll just weigh in on that because you mentioned it. I think that's much more often a parental excuse. I think that to raise great children, you have to be a great person yourself, and being a great person comes with an incredible. That's a big demand on me. You know, if I'm going to raise a Moshe Rabbeinu, I better get my act together and try to be a Moshe Rabbeinu myself. So often we say we don't want to make our kids crazy. What we're really saying is, I can't up the ante on me. So it's okay. You're fine. I don't want to make you crazy. What I'm really saying is, I'm not saying this is what you're saying. I'm saying this is, I think, what often people think. What I'm really saying is, I don't want to make myself crazy. So there's stuff I want to watch. There's stuff I want to do. There's recreation I want to engage in. There are parts of my lifestyle that I'm not really ready to change. And so, you're okay, Tatala. You're okay, Shev. You don't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, as long as you marry someone Jewish, like as if that's some kind of great accomplishment to marry someone Jewish. And like, as long as you're breathe tomorrow, like Shkoyach. But yes, like everything in life, it's a fine line. The goal is not to make our children crazy. But the job of a parent is to make sure my child is great. And by the way, I want to be clear. Becoming Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mean you're sitting in the base medrash all the time. You know, a person could be a lawyer, a doctor, a businessman, and you could be Moshe Rabbeinu also. Being Moshe Rabbeinu just means you're actualizing your potential. That's what it means. Not everybody's a Rosh Yeshiva, but it's got to be that fine line. I agree. There has to be a tension. We just have to make sure that we're not copping out on our kids because we don't really want to push ourselves. So, okay, so back to the Rebbe. So again, remember, his simple, there's a lot of chinuch stuff going on this week. So the Rebbe says, again, so you understand this kasha. His kasha is, how can the Pasuk say, Vayishalo ish l're'ehu? How can you equate Moshe and Yisro as being peers when they're not peers? So look what the Rebbe says. Ubiprat shebala Moshe shadal l'skar akshas l'skar. Remember, at this point in time, when Yisro is joining Klal Yisro, remember, he's not even going ahead in what? He's not even yet converted. He's coming to join the rank of Klal Yisro, but he's not even converted. Left-hand paragraph. Afal pi kein, korim ish v're'ehu. Nevertheless, we call Moshe and Yisro peers. So he says, well, so listen to this beautiful Yisod. Spoke about this a little bit in my Parsha Shir last night as well. Kikach darko shel hatzadik hagavoa ma'ot. We'll say this is the derech of the tzadik. You know, very often we think that the definition of a tzaddik is someone who cuts himself off from this world. You know, people have a skewed view of tzidkus. And people think that ultimately tzidkus often manifests itself in precious. The more separate and isolated you can become from everyone and everything around you, the more personally pious you could become. But the Rebbe says something different. He says, "Bikashu ushmo shu bechinas Moshe." Get ready. Listen to this lashon. Left-hand column, left-hand paragraph, third in line. Shumorid es atzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu brings himself down. Umekariv es atzmo kol kach. L'mishiyeshlo izo rotzol mehiskariv ela emes. Humekariv atzmo elav. You know what the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu was? The godless of Moshe Rabbeinu is that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to come off his pedestal, was willing to come out of his spiritual ivory tower in order to go down to the level of others in order to bring them up. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up of his own personal ruchnius, of his own spirituality, in order to build and bolster the spirituality of others. So what happens over here? He says, "Kol kach kiilu haya chaveiro mamish kiilu hem ish v're'eu." So we'll say, so what happens? Yisro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now remember, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you're thinking to yourself, listen, it's the Shver, it's true, it's my father-in-law, but he's an Oved Avodah Zarah, right? Not only is he an idolater, but he is the chief, he's the high priest of idolatry. It would be best if I keep him at arm's length. It would be best if I keep my distance. But Moshe Rabbeinu understands that Yisro is a Mevakesh, Yisro is seeking something greater. And Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that if he comes down to Yisro's level, if he makes himself a Re'ehu to Yisro, he has the ability to allow Yisro to kind of, to grab onto Moshe, and as Moshe Rabbeinu ascends, Yisro ascends with him. Says the Rebbe, that's the definition of a tzaddik. Definition of a tzaddik is someone who's not scared to get into the trenches with others in order to be ma'ala, in order ultimately to go ahead and lift them up. And Abbas, I think, and that's why the Torah goes out of, that's the Torah, calls them ish l're'ehu. Torah equates them not because they're equal, but to show us the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was willing to bring himself down to the same level of Yisro, all in an attempt to lift Yisro up. And Abbas, I think this comes for us with an incredible Yisod. You know, we all have incredible opportunities to uplift others. Whoever those others may be, sometimes those others are our kids, sometimes those others may be friends, sometimes those others may be family, whoever they may be. But the truth is, often there's a concern about lifting up others. Why? Because I have to give up of myself. You know, if I'm going to lift you up, then I have to give up time from myself, I have to give up resources from myself, and to a certain degree, I have to sacrifice my own ruchnius. Meaning, when I'm spending that time trying to lift you up spiritually, that's time I could be spending on me. That's time I could be focusing on me. I don't mean on my own push, I mean on lifting my own ruchnius. And so sometimes we are concerned that if we put ourselves out there for others, my own ruchnius takes a hit. And says the Rebbe, that's not the case. Your ruchnius never takes a hit by getting down in the trenches and helping another. Fakert. What makes a tzaddik is when he's willing to be re'ehu to those people who are not in the same spiritual level as him. What makes a tzaddik is someone who's a Moshe Rabbeinu and he's willing to go down to the level of Yisro, all in an effort to lift Yisro up. That's what a tzaddik is. You know what I'm saying? A person can learn Kala Torah Kula, can learn the entire Torah, doesn't make you a tzaddik. It might make you a Talmid Chacham, right? You might be very wise, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make you a tzaddik. A tzaddik is someone who's willing to give of himself for others. So Rabbi says, so we know about giving our money to others. We know about giving of our talents to others. You know all of those things. But you know, sometimes the tzaddik realizes that you know what you have to do? You have to sometimes even give of your ruchnius to others. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a little bit of your own personal spirituality in order to uplift the spirituality of the other. Sometimes you have to come down from your pedestal. Sometimes you have to come out of your own ivory tower of ruchnius, which is a beautiful place to be, in order to help out others, in order to get down into the trenches, lift the others up for where they are. But what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us, Rabbosai, is that when you get down in the trenches, when you make the common man re'egu, when you go out of your way to lift someone up, not only does your own ruchnius not take a hit, but therein lies the very recipe for growth. When we're willing to give up our own spirituality to bolster and to enhance the spiritualities of others, that's when we experience the most beautiful dveikus. That's when we experience the most beautiful connection. That's when we experience the most beautiful growth. All right, then we'll stop over here. Shkoyach.